Dear Cheap Astronomy, please tell us about subspace communications. If we suspend disbelief and accept that starships on Star Trek can cross light-year distances over the course of a single episode, we also need to consider how such fast-moving ships are able to stay in touch with the rest of Starfleet. After all, if the ships are going faster than the speed of light, how is it that a radio signal can still reach them? And how come there's no time lag between the sending and receiving of a message? In the real world, we had the 1.5-second time delay between Houston and the lunar astronauts, and for the recent New Horizons Pluto mission, there was more than 4 hours delay. If we ever get a mission to the Alpha Centauri system, the nearest star system to us, it will be a more than 4-year delay. This is clearly a problem for TV shows that have hour-length episodes. Of course, the answer is subspace communications. Apparently, sending messages through subspace allows anyone with the right equipment to receive your signal as though you are in the next room. Not only does the communication arrive instantaneously, it arrives unattenuated. That is, its signal strength is unaffected by the vast distances lying between sender and receiver. Nor is the signal affected by the speed at which the receiver is moving away from the source, which should normally exert a Doppler effect on the transmission. Ursula K. Le Guin is generally credited as the first fiction author to deal with the problem of how we might communicate meaningfully over light-year distances in her 1966 novel Rokanan's World, which was, coincidentally, the same year that Star Trek first aired. Le Guin proposed a device called an ansible, capable of supporting instantaneous two-way communications between a sender and receiver, without the lag time imposed by the speed of light. Isaac Asimov had preceded Le Guin with his mention of hyperspace relay technology in the 1950s Foundation trilogy. But Asimov mostly left it to the reader to deduce why such technology might be necessary, while Le Guin actually discussed the physics of it. Well, at least some of the physics. Neither Le Guin nor Asimov made any mention of subspace, which is a term commonly employed in extra-dimensional geometries, which are sometimes grouped together under the term Hilbert space. Hilbert space encompasses any spaces that extend beyond standard three-dimensional Euclidean space. So, the term subspace really just means a subset of the entirety of Hilbert space. This means that subspace is a generic term. If you ask a mathematician to describe subspace, you will get a quizzical look, before being asked, which particular subspace are you talking about? The term hyperspace is rarely used by anyone in science these days, perhaps because it has become so entrenched in science fiction, albeit more in the Star Wars than the Star Trek universe. In the real world, about the only place you might still hear the term hyper being used is in the field of imaginary geometries, called topology. For example, while a conventional three-dimensional cube has 6 square faces, the 8 faces of an imaginary hypercube are themselves three-dimensional cubes. See, for example, Salvador Dali's surrealist painting, Corpus Hypercubus. So, as is often the case, science fiction appears to have grabbed a sciencey-sounding term and applied it in ways that it was not really intended for. In the Star Trek universe, subspace is an imaginary place into which spacecraft can enter and later exit, without all that tedious mucking about in space-time. And, apparently, subspace is also where two-way, faster-than-light communications become possible. Exiting, and later re-entering space-time for the purposes of faster-than-light travel, requires mechanisms that we have no real understanding of at the moment. Our best guess is that exiting space-time would require the generation of colossal amounts of energy, meaning your spacecraft would probably be destroyed long before it went anywhere. However, the transmission of information through some kind of subspace does pose a few less problems than the transmission of a massive object. That said, we still have no idea how to access such a subspace, nor do we have any idea how information might be propagated through it or later retrieved from it. But consider this. If subspace communication really is possible, it might explain the total absence of alien communications detected so far, despite all our searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. We could just be looking in the wrong place.